That song rather puts things in perspective in many ways, does it not? All for me and all for you. That's why He did it. And no man could ever ascend up into heaven, that is, to bring God down from heaven. No effort on our part. It was His love. So thank the Lord this morning. That was a beautiful song. The meaning was extremely close to every one of our hearts, I believe. The humbleness that should come to us because of what Jesus Christ did for us when we were so undeserving. I've been thinking this week about a thought I'd like to share with us. May the Lord bless it. The words of the Bible seem to teach this and emphasize it. I ask you a question this morning. Have you ever attempted to maintain a long-distance relationship? Have you ever tried to keep fresh and up-to-date, full of good intentions, with someone that, for job reasons, different reasons, the miles separated you? Have you ever found yourself making promises to stay in contact? Oh, we must write. You know, we must call. Let's come see each other. Have you ever, in that attempting to maintain a good relationship, keeping things up to date, have you tried your best not to lose the intensity that that frequent contact with that person brought? Or the integration of the ideas that and the benefits of that? Have you tried in that long-distance relationship not to lose goals and lose purposes and try to keep everything kind of at the status quo or maintain that? Have you tried to, have you even gone to, like I said, to the point of making promises? I'm not going to forget you. I'm going to call you. I'm going to write you. And only to find out one morning you wake up, it's been a long time. I wonder how they're doing. I wonder what's going on. You feel this little tinge of guilt because I promised. I said I was going to do it. And it's been months now. Have you only made those commitments and tried to maintain something only to find out that you've been distracted and you find a long span of time since you've been in contact? Did you know trying to maintain a long-distance relationship takes a lot of effort, a lot of work, a lot of commitment? And I know it could be argued to be said it may be very hard to maintain it to where it was when you and that person were in direct contact. Have you tried to maintain those long-distance relationships only to find that a new friend and new acquaintances kind of take precedence? School, children, work begin to take the place of that commitment that you made to maintain a long-term or a long-distance relationship? Have you ever noticed that as that time and that span increases, that there's a waning, there's a losing of the intensity and the importance and the value of it? And sure, we look back on those times with nostalgia, and we look back and remember. But through the course of time and distance, it's just not the same anymore. Something's changed. You know and I know that relationships have to be maintained. They cannot just exist on their own and keep their vibrance, their benefit, and their beauty by just saying, well, I know him or I know her or something. But there's a maintaining. There is a effort. There is a sacrifice. There is a setting of goals that has to be maintained in order to keep a relationship fresh and vibrant. I'm thinking about, of course, our relationship with the Lord. And I'm thinking about you and me having it alive and well, and vibrant and up to date, and keeping it close and not trying to maintain it on a long distance, impersonal relationship. That we put to rest good intentions just as the thing that'll make it all right. That we put aside excuses. That we put aside distances that have grown up because of others or activities or work or other things that have a real way of coming in and saying, hey, look, give me your attention. It's a great danger in trying to maintain a long-distance relationship with God and with God's people and with Jesus Christ. In the body of Christ, one of the ways the Lord has made and ordained for us to maintain a close and a useful and a productive relationship with Him is the assembling of ourselves together. Is the saints of God, the people of God, coming together on a regular basis as it can be produced. And He said in that unity, in that coming together, He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, He said, there I'll be in the midst of them also. Christ spoke those words. So we find that the Lord has commanded a blessing in men and women coming together in His name to worship, to study, to pray, to offer up thanksgiving and spiritual sacrifices in the name of the Lord. He has Himself agreed, promised, covenanted with us to come and be there in our midst. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, or where the Lord is, there's the blessing. There's life there. There's vigor there. There is a desire there. And you and me have the wonderful opportunity to be able to meet together, assemble ourselves, with the knowledge the Lord has agreed to meet with us. That's a privilege we have. That's a blessing we have. It is a responsibility, but may God help us not to see it as a duty or as a sacrifice, but a privilege. Something very rich that's been afforded to us that I do not have to try and maintain a distant relationship. Because I think we've ever one found good intentions on distant relationships probably are not enough. We need that contact. We need that, excuse the expression, eyeball-to-eyeball contact. We need the handshakes and the hugs and how are you doing? And we need to see one another's tears and see one another's smiles. And we need to understand burdens. And we don't do that from afar off. I want to read a scripture that's probably already come to your mind. The book of Hebrews, I'm convinced, is inspired of the Lord. It's a rich and it's a deep book of the Bible. It teaches things about the types and the shadows that, like no other book in the Bible, really completely teaches. He brings out things in this that are good for us and profitable for us, that the eyes of our understanding might be opened, that we may see what God had in mind in the tabernacle and the calling of Abraham and all these different things. And God wants us to understand something that He had written in the book of Hebrews in the 10th chapter, starting at the 22nd verse. It's a privilege to be able to assemble together. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. I'd like to talk about that a little bit. He said in here, let us hold fast. It's interesting what the Greek has to say about this phrase, hold fast. And it has a lot to do with relationships and my part and your part in maintaining that close relationship with the Lord. And one way that we maintain close relationships with God, one way, is to have a close relationship with His people. There is strength in number. There is strength in one another. And we'll read some scriptures to verify that. But He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. He said, this is some of the things that could be said about that. Let us keep it secure. May we value our profession, our confession, and our experience with God. And one of the ways we understand we must do is that we must, with His help, keep it secure. Okay? Relationships can be lost. Relationships can be fed. Relationships can be maintained. Or they can be let out in such a way that other things creep in and disturb them. It means to restrain the enemy from his purpose. Did you know today, the purpose of the devil is to destroy the camp of the saints? Is to destroy your soul and mine? Let's not ever think the devil has a kind streak or a benevolent thought, but his purpose is to kill and destroy. It's to rob. It's to steal. It's to take away from you the joy of your salvation. And he will interject it in any way, in any fashion that he's able to. And we've got to be very careful that we hold fast, that we realize we have an enemy that's trying to insert little thoughts, little attitudes, or just business and events into our life that will cause the devil to gain just a little strength in our lives. So it means to restrain the enemy from his purpose. Have you ever been blessed and encouraged by coming to service? Have you ever found just the word you needed for your burden? Have you ever found just the understanding of a scripture that you had been long seeking for? You know, that's foiling the attempts of the devil. Lord, help us to recognize the value that we have. Last week or week before last, we spoke about being in the way, being in the right way, and not going our way, but taking God's way. Part of this definition of the word to hold fast is to check the ship's headway, or to check the ship's direction. And you know, sometimes if we get on our own, or a little indifferent, if we get somewhat, or a little bit even, detached, from the body of Christ. Did you know there's a great protection in the admonition and the encouragement and the direction we see from one another? There's a discipline there. And we forfeit that discipline when we forfeit assembling ourselves together. We're to some degree leaning to our own understanding. We are making a statement of some fashion that it's really not altogether that necessary. Whereas the Bible teaches us of the unity and the oneness and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So we find a defense, an offense in it. And it also means to keep in memory. Have you ever, with a long-term relationship, lost the edge of the memory of that person and the quality of that memory diminish, and after you see them for a season, some of those memories start rushing back in, and you forgot probably that little thing that made you so attracted to that person and that caused such a friendship to develop, and how you recognized the value of it, so therefore you made promises to maintain it. But the distance took the edge off. The distance took the critical aspect of why it was so important when you said what you said. Did you know when we were saved, we made specific promises to God, and we meant them, and we truly wanted God to be everything. We wanted to obey Him in everything. We wanted to do His will in everything. We made specific promises based on what He had done for us. That has to be maintained. We have to keep that. We have to allow that to be real important in our life. And part of this holding fast to it is to keep fresh in our memory. And as we meet together, the church meets together and exhorts one another in spiritual songs and hymns and admonitions and testimonies in what the Lord has done, it integrates us into something. Let's not say it quite that way. It shows us that we are integrated into something much bigger than we are. The song started off this morning, and I can't quite remember the words that they sang, but it had to do when we see the Lord, we see something great and powerful and mighty and mysterious that we're not able to comprehend. And I thought, as we hold the Word of God up, it's just like this, and look at the power and the majesty and the mystery and the beauty of it, I'm glad that I don't have to depend on me to understand everything. First, I'm glad for the Spirit. Amen. I'm glad for the Spirit of God. But I also know the Spirit of God deals with you. And I know the Spirit of God deals with you. And I know the Spirit of God doesn't tell me everything directly. He says, I want you to get it from Him and Him and her. I want you to receive what others are receiving and share that. It's a very important part of our spiritual welfare is the coming together and not forsaking the coming together, because it gives me what the Lord gave you. It shares with me or one another what the Lord has given one another, given each other. So I thank the Lord for that. It said that He's faithful who promised. Don't know what all the writer had in mind here, but I'm thinking again of that scripture that said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. We can count on God. If we come and meet in His name, we can count on God. Can God count on us? Can God say, I'm going to be, and I know we say, well, God's everywhere. Please understand what I'm saying. Can God agree to be somewhere, already promised it, already written it, already signed it, already sealed it on the cross, I'm going to be there, and then we with a degree of disrespect just not choose to be there? Now, we're not talking about those exceptions. We're not talking about those times when something comes. We're not talking about that. We're talking about matters of choice, times that I have an opportunity to be where God's people are gathered together and I choose otherwise. That's what we're talking about. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, said, don't let that become part of your lifestyle. Don't let that become part of your identity. But remember, God is faithful, and He has committed Himself. I don't want to disappoint Him. I don't want to show disrespect by just whimsically saying, I'm not going today, or I'm not going to be there, or I'm going to go do so-and-so today. And then, invariably, what will happen to us, because it's not a, well, invariably what will happen to us, then we have to come up with an excuse. Whereas we're just better off to follow the Lord. Think about those for a moment. Talked about provoking one another to love and good works. Did you know that should be one of the primary goals of coming together? It's not just to receive. Of course we should want to receive. We should expect to receive something from the Lord. But we don't want to be like the man who took his talents and went and hid it and didn't use it. But we should come with a knowledge that this is a place to, if you'll accept this expression, to rally. It is a place to be encouraged and to encourage others. Paul was in a desperate place, and the Lord saw fit. Paul was crying out for help. He was wanting someone to come minister to him, and he said, "The Lord comforted me by the coming of Titus." Titus was an emissary of the Lord. He was there sent by God to provoke, to encourage, to stir up. And this is part of what we should expect and should want and should hunger for as Christians, that our minds, our pure minds, be stirred up. And folks, the Lord can stir you and me up in the middle of the woods all by ourselves. But did you know how the Lord, by and large, chooses to stir us up? Maybe not altogether. I don't mean that. But He chooses to stir us up by one another, working with one another, testifying with one another, rejoicing with one another. Poor old Elijah got out there and he said, "I'm the only one left." Well, no, he wasn't. But did you know if we... What shall I say? If we don't maintain our relationship with God and each other, did you know the devil is just good at planting little ideas? Nobody loves me. They don't care about me. Or it's not that necessary. Folks, you know one of the best ways to dispel the lies of the devil is to come to service. And you know another way to do it is when the church service is over with, the worship service is over with, walk up to somebody and say, "Hello, praise the Lord." And not just leave. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. But at the same time, I'm suggesting that sometimes the devil, many times the devil can be dispelled by proving him wrong. And we sometimes expect others to do all the proving, and God wants me and you to do the proving. God says, go up and say hello to them, and you know what? You'll get a smile. You'll get someone that's thankful that you spoke to them. Think about those things. Oh, God wants us to provoke one another to love and to good works. And part of this is, comes through the assembling of ourselves together. Folks, when we discount assembling ourselves together, we handicap ourselves. We place ourselves in a place where the devil and his ideas might find a little logic. First thing you know, the distance grows, a coolness grows, a misunderstanding crops up, and the first thing you know, our soul is lean. Our soul is not alive as it once were. And he said, even so much more as you see the day approaching. I don't know what that day is altogether. I think it can be a combination of things. Certainly it means death. Have you ever noticed how, at least in my case, maybe yours, as you grow older, sometimes you kind of reminisce? You ever noticed sometimes as you grow older, you kind of think about regrets and lost relationships? As we see the day approaching, we need to remember what God has planned and what God has ordained for us. And He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see death approaching. And whether we see it or not, it's approaching. And our time on earth is but a vapor. It's just a breath, and it's gone. And if we are going to benefit and be benefited in this life, it's really a short period of time. I thought about judgment to come. As we understand, judgment is coming. And you and me must stand before every one of us before God and give an account of the deeds done in this body. I frankly tell you, I want all the help I can get. I need to be provoked. I need to be stirred up. I need to understand. I need my understanding opened, enlightened. And I make myself a fool if I think I'm the one that's going to get it all for myself. God did not ordain it that way. God did not take us and set us apart, but He brought us together. God did not set us over here and say, you get yours, you get yours, and you get yours. No, He brought us together into the body of Jesus Christ. And the hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of thee. Brother, we need one another. We need what the other one supplies. If your ear is itching, you try to scratch it with your knee. You need your fingers. That's what I mean. We cannot say, I don't have any need of you, or you don't have any need for me. It's critical that the body cooperates. It's critical that the body supplies the needs. It's critical. If we had no eyes, our feet would be handicapped. If we had no ears, if we had no sense of feelings, we're not islands, but we're part of the body of Christ. And there's a great need for the body to communicate and to share and to feed, to nourish one another. Satan knows this, saints. Satan knows this. Take this morning as a caution. Satan knows we need each other. We need the interaction. We need the regular interaction. We need to hear what God is doing across the congregation. We need to encourage each other. We need to weep and cry with one another. We need to rejoice with one another. And Satan knows that. Satan knows that there is strength when you say, pray for me, and someone says, I am praying for you. And we share burdens. I think too many times, if we're not careful, we can try to shoulder our own burden all by ourselves. I want to promise you something. There's a burden coming that you can't do it. May not be there yet in your mind. But there's a burden that's coming your way. Mark this. And you're going to have to cry out for help. Lord, help us to learn that as soon as we can. Because we gain that help from one another. And Satan knows that. And he would like for you and me to count this as an indifferent matter. As something that is optional. Something that we could just say yes and no to with no consequences. There's deep consequences. There's deep consequences. As we see this world, this day approach, he said, that day. As we see the camp of saints encompassed about with all the sources of deception and evil, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. As we see the combined leagues of all the apostate religions, of all the paganistic powers, all the influences of evil forming a league with the one thing to destroy truth in the earth today. He said, as you see that day approaching, you better get together. You better get together and pray. Encourage, provoke, love, hold, and keep one another. Bring your gifts and share your gifts. Bring your talents and use your talents. Come together with an interest of maintaining a relationship that God Himself has established. He talked about holding the profession of your faith. I think one thing that every one of us needs to keep first and foremost in our mind is the value of our experience of salvation. Of everything you own or have or can claim title to, salvation is the greatest. With it you have everything, without it you have nothing. We need to understand that it's been committed to you and me through Jesus Christ, the greatest of all gifts. You know what I'm afraid of? And this comes pretty close to me. I'm not saying y'all or them or those. It comes close to us all, to me. The value of what Christ did, the value of what He did for me, can be diminished. And I can lose the sense of responsibility that it is indeed the treasure that is hid in the field, that I purchased it. It's the most valuable of everything. I want to encourage you today. Encourage me, Lord. Help us all. That we understand the value of the experience of salvation. And that we do everything God has commanded. That we take advantage of every asset the Lord has placed in the church and utilize that and not forsake that. We need to be willing and have in our hearts, this is not head now, this is something that has to come from our heart. The value, Jesus said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" It has to be more than just, "I ought to go to church or church service. I ought to do so and so." There should be a hunger. There must be a hunger. Well, I'm going to promise you that long-term, that relationship will become long-term, or long-distance rather. There must be a vehement desire in us to honor the price and the effort that went into our justification and our forgiveness. Think about it. We honor the Lord. We don't come here in anyone else's name. We don't meet together in for just fellowship of ideas and entertaining the flesh. It's got to be much deeper than that. But it's come to honor Him, pay respect to Him for what He so graciously, freely gave me. We need to have a vehement desire to honor God with our life and with our public worship. Should be a hunger and a thirst. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Please, young people, don't take this as a chore. Take it as an opportunity. Take it as something very unique. Because young man and young lady, young child, did you know that you've been singled out by your parents to receive something beautiful and great? Did you know that the majority of your peers are doing something else today? You've been singled out to something special. Out of all the world, look what God has done for you. See it as an opportunity. See it as a place of growth. See it as something that will instill in you knowledge and understanding of the divine. And I want to say this to us all. Bring with us, I mentioned this a little bit, our talents, our abilities. Come prepared for every good work in the service of the Lord. I believe sometimes service can become a drudge because all I do is go and sit. Now, please take this, I hope I don't mess this up. But I would say to us, let's pack a lunch. Let's pack a basket before we leave house. Let's bring something with us. We may not eat yours today, but it'll keep, it's got preservatives in it. Good preservatives, Holy Spirit preservatives. You know, it's not going to spoil. One time, an old brother, Moritz Apollo. Well, he wasn't a pastor. Anyway, his old brother over there, Robert, old brother Robert. He was holding a meeting up in a little town. And a younger brother came, and I don't know all the circumstances, but the younger brother got up in front of Brother Roberts and preached. So someone came to him later to Brother Robert and said, "Brother Robert said, we're sorry you know that happened. Brother Robert says, don't worry at all." He said, "I can just put that one on ice." You know, if your gift, is not utilized that day, bring it again. It will be needed. A song, calling a song, testimony, a hallelujah, clapping your hands or praising the Lord, shedding a tear, saying hello. It all goes in to make us all who we are. The body is not the eye. The body is not the ear. The body is not the foot. The body is it all brought together under the head, Jesus Christ. May God help us to have a deep honor and a deep respect for this wonderful opportunity we have. But to do that, we've got to be willing to share. That is in the world through lust. And you know what lust is? It's giving ourselves over to our appetites. Giving ourselves over to our desires. Whatever it may be. It can be anything. Giving ourselves over something that's not proper at the time. Of going in excess of something. Going beyond the limits of temperance. And this world is full of just that. And we have escaped that. We have escaped the corruption, sin. We have escaped the corruption of lies. We have escaped the corruption of the deceit of the devil. And you and me need to foster that in one another. And part of the way we do that is to come together. Maintaining a relationship with God. Over in Hebrews, the second chapter, he asks us a question. And may the Lord help us all to answer that today. Over in Hebrews, the second chapter, in the first verse. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I know there are a lot of ways to maintain our experience with the Lord, and we can name quite a few. But we're speaking specifically of one here today. And that's the opportunity God's given us to assemble ourselves together. It's a duty, an obligation, you might say, but let's not find it that way. And the writer said, how shall we escape if we pick and choose? How shall we escape if we neglect? How shall we be fulfilled in our spirit? How shall we find all the joys and all the beauties if we neglect? How shall I be mature and fruitful if I neglect? If we fail to maintain what God has ordained for us, how do we think we're going to enjoy the blessings of the Almighty? The joy. How do we feel comfortable going to the judgment if we neglect? How do we think we're going to stand before the Lord when I know what the Lord commanded and I chose otherwise? How do we expect to escape? The answer is, we won't. The responsibility God has placed on us is to love Him more than anything else. To find His service, His presence, the most important thing in our life. There's going to come events in our lives, and everyone will not be in service all the time. But I'm talking today about we need to be very careful. Satan wants to keep you out of service. Satan wants to keep me out of service. This is something that's critical to our welfare. It's necessary for our growth. It's necessary for our encouragement. It is a place where you and me can find kindred spirits to encourage us. And we do ourselves a tremendous disservice if we casually take this time. If we take it as, you know, someone has made this statement, I believe Brother Marty or someone said it once. You know, the question should never come up, are we going to service today? That should be a no-brainer. You know, never ask that question. But do you know, parents, if you're not careful, if we're not careful, we'll present an atmosphere where the child feels comfortable asking that. You know, the child should never say, are we going to service today, Dad, Mom? That should be just like, well, it's Sunday, let's get up and brush our teeth, eat our oatmeal because we're going to service. The child should never ask that. Parents, the Bible said, train up your child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart. Brother Philip has taught us, and I believe this is real, that what we count as important, it'll pass right on down to our children. What we count, what we give ourselves for, and what we sacrifice for, becomes something special to those children. If we're indifferent about service, guess what? If there's options on going to service, guess what? But if Mom and Dad say, it's Sunday, it's a no-brainer, we're going to service. You know, those children will have a much greater opportunity to establish their home with those same principles if Mom and Dad has laid that foundation. It just, you know, don't ask me that. Why ask? May the Lord help us this morning to trust in the faithfulness of God, to honor God. We've been made partakers of something beautiful, and we surely want to maintain that. But how are we going to escape? How are we going to stand justified? How are we going to be able to say with a legitimate reason why that part of me was lacking? May God help us this morning. Said he went by the field of a slothful man. And he took a lesson from it. This is in Proverbs 24, 30th verse. Said he went by the field of a slothful man, a lazy man, and the field was all broken down. And briars and brambles had grown up. The hedge, the fence was dilapidated and broke down. He looked on that and he questioned it in his mind, and maybe he said, how did that happen? And he went on to say, and he took a lesson from that. And this is what he said. A little sleep and a little slumber. Yea, a little sleep and a little slumber. So shall your poverty come as an armed man. You don't exactly feel it or see it, but all of a sudden it begins to creep up, creep up, creep up, creep, and all of a sudden the briars have grown over. There's a break in the hedge. And we wonder, how did that happen? There's a real blessing, folks, in being together in the name of the Lord. There's so much scriptures, and time has got away from me. But be encouraged this morning. God wants us together. And God wants us together to worship Him. God wants us together to profit us, to encourage us, and to strengthen us. And in so doing, the cause of Christ is strengthened. The goals can be more easily reached. And the effort of the missionary and the effort of the publishing work and the effort of those knocking on doors and for the salvation of souls, folks, as we come together. And He said in one place, I wanted to mention this, iron sharpeneth iron. And I have a note here somewhere I thought was interesting, that it was other translations. It's in Proverbs. Bear with me a minute and I'll find that. Other translations, they kind of added to it a little bit. Proverbs 27 and 17 said, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Some other translations, it said, just as iron sharpens iron, friends sharpen the mind of each other. Another one said, people learn from one another, just as iron sharpeneth iron. And another one said, as iron sharpeneth iron, so one person sharpens the wit of another. So may the Lord help us today. Coming together, being in worship, not forsaking this time, counting it a privilege, counting it a joy. We understanding God has made a covenant with us that He's going to be right here. And let's honor God with our presence, our time, our prayers, our talents, and put forth something that's laying a foundation for the generation following it. This is something important. This is something necessary. This is a place where we grow and not be indifferent or find to easily make an excuse for it, but may we put forth every effort and everything we have to enjoy, to want to be together, to worship the Lord. You pray for me.